Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat. Coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Happy Thursday. We're almost there. We're almost to the weekend, but not quite yet. Hope you all enjoyed free agency. See you in May. I'm somewhat kidding, but I do think the Packers are going to kind of slow their roll now. A very active couple days, both prior to the start of the legal tampering period, throughout that, and then the first day of free agency. Pretty quiet today. No new headlines or reports of transactions, though I do know Tom Silverstein reported that Emmanuel Wilson will not be back, though I believe we probably got that report earlier this offseason from Fowler at ESPN. Certainly, Spoon confirming that Emmanuel Wilson plans to sign elsewhere and will not be back after the Packers didn't tender him and essentially chose to bring back Chris Brooks instead. But outside of that, no real new headlines. But I did want to step back for a second and look at something, touch on something we talked about a little bit yesterday, because I do think it's a pretty important coupling as far as the veterans that they have brought in the last couple of days. Obviously, Hargrave yesterday, a guy who has worked with the new defensive coordinator in Jonathan Gannon in the past, without question, had his best, most productive years with Gannon at the helm. And then the trade for Zaire Franklin, another guy who has worked with Gannon in his past. Now, Gannon wasn't the coordinator, but he was on staff when Franklin was first coming into the league and working his way into becoming a really freaking good inside linebacker in the NFL. And it's juxtaposed with this idea that the Packers have been the youngest team in the league for the last 3 years running, which I know had been a bit of a sore point for some fans, getting sick and tired of being the youngest team. And I don't think it's a coincidence that when we have seen this offseason in particular, where we have watched a lot of guys walk out the door, a lot of talent walk out the door, some of it, I would say most of it, with its replacements ready at the ready on the roster already to step into that vacancy. You know, this seemingly feels like a bit of a plan. You know, the idea being, yes, they ripped off the Band-Aid when they traded Aaron Rodgers and jettisoned as much veteran talent as they did when they traded him. And they certainly went extremely, extremely young, especially on the offensive side of the ball. But even on the defensive side, you've certainly seen guys kind of grow within this system, whether it is Devontae Wyatt, Rashawn Gary, who is now out the door, one of those jettisons that I was talking about. But this is a team that has matured together as a roster, and the Packers have identified or started to identify who their core players are, who are their core guys that they are going to go chase this championship with. And I don't doubt for a moment that part of that plan was, we're going to figure out who our core is over these next few years. And then when it is time to identify who's staying and who's going, and we've talked about this so many times throughout the years, well, there's going to be some tough choices to make. Well, those tough choices are being made this offseason. And in conjunction with that, they are bringing in veterans in a way that we have not seen in Green Bay in quite some time. I've heard from many of you, and I've seen the comments on Twitter regarding, wow, you know, a 33-year-old they've brought in. They've brought in a guy who's turning 30 this season. Even Benjamin St. Juste, who they just announced, the Packers made it official, which obviously means he finally got in and took a physical and passed it. He's 28, going to be 29 soon. So this is not business as usual in free agency and in talent acquisition, where the last couple seasons you could set it and forget it, that Brian almost by the book wanted to make sure that whoever he brought in was coming in off of their first rookie contract, right? Guys who are maybe entering that bulk of their prime in the league. Well, that is not the case this offseason. And I do think that is a very, you know, specific change in approach because of where they are as a roster. And there is zero doubt that Hargrave and Franklin in particular are going to aid Gannon in the transition from Jeff Hafley's defense to Gannon's scheme, which is quite different. You know, we've already heard from Brian Gutekunst at the combine talking about how there are going to be 3-4 type looks that that we have not seen in Green Bay in a number of years. You know, there is going to be some significant difference in a way that there probably wasn't when they brought in Halfley to take over and implement what he wanted to do with the 4-3. I don't think anyone's going to be confused with the play style, the difference in how it looks on early downs. And I do think just having a couple veterans there who have done everything in this league and have worked with Jonathan Gannon in the past, they're going to be able to help terminology, concepts, what it means, what it's supposed to look like. They're going to have that support on the field from certain players in these veterans. That's smart team building in my mind. And I do think, again, this has been done with purpose. This is a moment as an organization where, all right, we're done with the youngest team in the league, quote unquote. And I don't think they're going to suddenly become an aging team. They're not going to go and just willy-nilly sign a bunch of 30-plus-year-old veterans, but they're certainly selectively adding them where they think, A, it can help them on the roster, but B, also augment a team that has found its core or is at least beginning to find the core guys that they believe can form the nucleus of a team that's going to go win a championship and hopefully multiple championships. You know, it's not going to say it's the same, but it's similar to the way Ron Wolf operated, the way Ted Thompson operated. And now Brian, after a very dramatic changing of the guard, so to speak, from Aaron Rodgers to Jordan Love and the attendant moves that were made, making them as young as they have been, this is clearly a new phase. And I, for one, am very excited about it. Very happy to be on board and watch these Green Bay Packers team in 2026 go and win a championship. Because that's the goal. It's title town, people. Hope you're all doing well. Speaking of you people. What do you mean, you people? Hope you're all doing well. Good to see Soder already starting out. Soder doesn't waste no time, people. Before I get to your questions and comments, you guys know I got to give a shout out to our good friends over at ThetaCare. You put your heart into football, which is why ThetaCare Cardiovascular Care puts their full clinical resources into yours. From screenings to specialized treatment, get the expert care you deserve. Trust ThetaCare Cardiovascular Care to keep your heart game day ready. Proud sponsor of Cheesehead TV. All right, folks, what's going on? How we doing? Soder, it's on your mind, brother. If they can get Parsons and Wyatt back healthy, this is probably the best defense since Jolly, Raji, and Pickett. This kind of positivity is making me feel really disoriented. Deep breaths. No question. It's funny you say that. I was having similar thoughts and or conversations with a friend of mine last night. Kind of the same idea. Like, I am almost giddy with the idea of Parsons coupled with, you know, Wyatt getting back healthy. I'm trying to, you know, not get too excited. It's still March, for God's sakes, you know. But yeah, the defensive front certainly looking a lot better. And again, adding a veteran, a guy who's done it all in this league at a very high level and is probably itching to make some people remember how good he is. You know, I'm all for it. I'm very excited. Jeff Jones, how are you, man? It's a long game, war of attrition. Which area do we need the most depth help? It's about who has the best players at the end of the season, in my humble opinion. You're not wrong, man. I mean, look, the Packers just lived that experience, right? Just this past season. And I know Aaron Schatz and FTN folks put out their kind of rankings of teams that lost, you know, certain starts from a number of starters nominally. But I know, and the Packers came in middle of the pack in that ranking. But I also know it doesn't account for, is that a blue chip player? Is that, you know, the 22nd starter on your roster? Because the Packers lost like five of their best players essentially in one game. You know, that's tough to overcome. I do think there is a long way to go as far as stockpiling depth. I think certainly you're going to see additions through the draft, which is why I think most of the kind of depth type signings and or additions are going to be made. But we've got a long way to go. You know, we still got, a month and a half until the draft, and plenty of free agents still sitting out there that will probably be sitting out there for a while. The Packers will let the market settle and probably make, I would suspect, a addition or two still, but I don't think it's going to be a shopping spree by any stretch of the imagination. But as far as which area I think needs the most depth help, I think cornerback is the obvious answer. I do think that's going to be addressed in the draft. I still think they have to add a body or two along the defensive line. I think at edge, that's something that will probably be looked at again in the draft. For me, I got to say defensive tackle is probably the one area where you talk about injuries being able to take you out real quick. Look no further than what Soder was just talking about. You need to get Parsons and Wyatt back healthy. If the Packers are able to hold up in the middle, they can do a lot of different stuff. But you lose one or two guys at defensive tackle, everything can fall apart real quick. We talk about it all the time here. The game is won in the trenches, right? And you can hide a corner in zone and types of calls in certain situations, etc. It's hard to hide a defensive tackle. It's hard to hide the fact that you're down your top two or three guys, and now you're playing guys who are getting pushed around, right, up front, whether they're trying to rush the passer or in the run game. So to me, you know, that's they brought back Jonathan Ford yesterday, and that is a start as far as needing those ditch diggers, guys who can play in rotation. But Jonathan Ford is a deep rotation player. Right. If they're playing Jonathan Ford 45, 50 snaps in a game, we are in deep trouble. So I think that to me is the glaring kind of need still. Now we're only, what, a day into free agency. So a lot of ball game left. But to me, that is a number one. Jason, how are you, sir? Do you think the Josh Sweat rumors are valid or just rumors? Haven't heard or seen or read anything about it, so I'm not quite sure, man. The fact that I haven't would suggest that it's probably just rumors. But I know he did great work with Gannon, both, you know, in Philadelphia and in Arizona. He did just sign a contract with Arizona last offseason. I believe he probably still has 2 or 3 years left on his deal. Now, the Packers have space. They got tons of cap space, so they could absorb a deal like that. Wouldn't be in the norm when it comes to Green Bay to make that kind of move, but I'm not going to say it's impossible, especially, again, if they get to a point where they think, okay, we can augment our edge group with a guy who has a history with our defensive coordinator, etc. You know, could they make a swing like that? It's not impossible. I say it's unlikely. That's just me sitting here on March, whatever it is. We'll see how the offseason plays out. The man, how are you doing? Can a guy like Chris Brooks play a traditional fullback role if we draft a running back too good for the practice squad? Hey, man, that's a good problem to have if you draft somebody who's like demanding to be on the field. And don't get it twisted. Even if they draft someone, it's going to be a battle. And, you know, you talk about if there's a competition at running back, Marshawn Lloyd is nowhere near a lock or to be counted on in any way, shape, or form. So whatever happens, it's going to be a battle at the spots behind Josh Jacobs, right? To answer your first question, can Brooks play fullback? Not a ton in his history to suggest it. I don't really see it as a player. And plus, you talk about Matt LaFleur and his scheme, they don't really utilize the fullback that much. I know they've put move guys in there at tight end and things of that nature, but they've not done a ton of traditional two-back stuff with a fullback, right? And when they've had fullbacks, they've barely utilized them. So I would be surprised if they went that route.
Adjust something here, guys. Apologies. Oh, boy. Oh, there we go.
I was perilously close to falling over. That would have been a disaster. Goodness. Joe, what's going on, man? Does Packers still have cap room to get Josh Sweat? As I just said, yes, they do. I'll be shocked if they do it, though. Abdul, how are you, sir? Hey, Aaron, what's our biggest hole currently? Phrasing. Defensive tackle or corner, one of the two. I think you could also make the argument that offensive line needs to be augmented as well. I think all three of those spots are undoubtedly going to be looked at in the draft. But again, it's about owning the line of scrimmage. I'm always going to acquiesce to wanting more talent up front on both offensive and defensive line. Right now, currently, as they sit, I think defensive tackle is probably still the biggest issue. But again, we're one day in. Long way to go. E4, how are you, sir? Only question is, how many of the next three seasons will be undefeated seasons? All three or just two? I'm going to say just two. You know, they'll have one game where they're up 21-3 at half and they'll blow it. I kid. Because I hurt. Abdul, thanks again, man. Is Franklin an improvement over Walker? I believe so, simply because of what he'll most likely be asked to do. Now, we haven't even gotten to talk to Jonathan Gannon yet, so we'll see what he has in mind. But I think so. From a down-by-down kind of lens that you're looking at through, there's zero doubt that Walker was more and is more athletic, certainly a better athlete, but I think down in and down out as a player, Franklin's a better player and has been for most of his career. I know he did not have the best year last year in a new system in Indianapolis, but to me, he's a much more solid tackler, much more aware in coverage, and just a way more consistent player. And it's not to take anything away from Quay, because I do think he played some really good ball at times for the Packers, but his limitations certainly were exposed at the worst possible times against better opponents and offensive coordinators who knew how to take advantage of him. And I think Franklin is just a more disciplined, more consistent player. And I think, you know, part of that is, look at their paths, right? Quay Walker was drafted in the first round and handed a starting job, essentially, or it was, at least was in the mix, right? Zaire Franklin is a former seventh rounder, had to work his ass off to become what he became, which is essentially a really good fucking player, right? He second team all pro, if I remember right, a couple years ago. You know, he's worked his ass off to become the consistent force that he is. So I just think, again, it's no shade to Quay, but he's a better athlete. Franklin's a better player, to my eyes. Andrew Ware, how are you, man? I like our moves. Smart football. Having a set it and forget it returner is going to be great. Love seeing us add some age. Let's go get this ring, Packers legend Aaron Brooks. Man, I love Aaron Brooks. The fact that Mike McCarthy had a top 10 offense with Aaron Brooks as his quarterback. Forever. A legendary season down there in New Orleans. Yeah, man, I love the idea of a set it and forget it returner if they actually do it. Sorry, Packers, you did this to yourselves, man. You had a set it and forget it returner last year and you got cute and it cost you. You got to set it and forget it returner again. Just set it and forget it. And I won't have to spend all next summer making fun of you. But this offseason, oh, you best believe I'm going to be making fun of the Green Bay Packers for signing a returner. Let's see if they actually let him return. The Tonight Show. Starring Sky Moore. Da, 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 da. Can't wait. Jason, thanks again, man. I'm superstitious, so can we give your boy Sky Moore 81? You can give him whatever you want. They have not officially announced his signing yet. They're kind of working through those over the course of the last day or two. I found it hilarious. They just announced Benjamin St. Juste, who is getting number 21, the same number that Nate Hobbs wore. Quote Clay Matthews, damn, body ain't even cold yet. So we'll see. We'll see what they give him. Rich Harris, what's up, man? Godfather, Big Citrus, yes, please, give me beef. Both of those players are fun, man. And speaking of Big Citrus, he is adorning the cover of this year's Cheesehead TV Pro Football Draft Guide, available April 2nd. Make sure you sign up for our Patreon page. You don't have to become a paid member, but you do need a Patreon account. For the day it goes live on April 2nd, you'll be able to purchase it and download it immediately. Do it, folks. You know you want to. Mike, how are you, man? Thanks for being a Care of the G Club member. Really appreciate it. I'm Miss Romeo, but if they can only pick one, I'm glad they kept Watson. Get Golden some playing time now. Go Pack, go. Oh, Mike, 1,000,000,000%. And again, yes, agree with you, man. Appreciate everything Romeo did. But, you know, he, as consistent as he could be and as trustworthy and obvious the trust that he had with the quarterback in Jordan Love. Certainly a move the chain merchant, caught everything on third downs. Great work in the red zone. Great connection with Jordan Love. He doesn't approach Christian Watson as a receiver, right? It's night and day, athletically, production-wise, etc. So, and what he just does for the offense as far as forcing defensive coordinators to adjust certain ways. Christian Watson is a special player. And as I joked the other day, he's going to get an extension and Packers Twitter is going to melt down. I'm not looking forward. I am kind of looking forward to it, actually. Carter, how are you, man? With Quay Gary gone and LVN disappointing, do you think Goody moves off RAS? It feels like I get this every year. And goes more college production tape this draft. First of all, I don't think they find LVN disappointing. I think they are, you know, disappointed that he got hurt last year. But when he was right, he played pretty damn well. Now, has he been Micah Parsons? No. And when you pick at 13, you want a difference maker, right? You want a blue chip player. He's certainly not blossomed into that. But they're not going to make wild adjustments to what they do. They're going to continue to use the process that they've used for decades. They always tweak it. They're always looking at, okay, maybe we need to adjust this or that. But when it comes to RAS, you got to remember, the Packers don't use RAS. They have their own athletic thresholds that they've used for years, right? Now, RAS does a very good job of essentially identifying the types that they like, but they certainly don't use it in-house, right? They have their own methods, their own athletic testing, their own thresholds that, again, have served them very well. They're not going to make wild swings because of a disappointment here or there. Speaking of which, someone online today, a couple of people, obviously, because it's always this way, sent this to me, but Football Stats Guy on Twitter. You know, you can take this for whatever it's worth, grain of salt, what have you, but it was pretty exhaustive and pretty thorough. He went through and graded every NFL team's draft performance over the last 6 years, hit rate, bust rate, star rate, and a metric called DVA, draft value added, measuring how much value a team actually gets relative to where they pick. That last part is very important because the Packers are constantly picking way down in the 20s, which Packers fans seem to forget all the time. But, the best teams, after you factor all that in, Green Bay, Kansas City, Seattle, and Buffalo. It's like the Packers do a very good job drafting. Packers fans would never let you know that. And Carter, I'm not saying that's what you're saying here, but they've done a very good job drafting over the course of the last 6-7 years. Now, you can certainly look at the front end of Goody's tenure, and there are some very disappointing classes there. No question about it. But what is the response to that? You got to draft better. Well, Gutekunst has. So it's not going to be some wild turn or dramatic shift. They're going to continue to do what they've been doing. Now, could that, the fact that they did start poorly under Goody drafting and now have gotten better, that could be a result of the kind of thing you're talking about as far as self-reflection, going over everything, looking at your process, making adjustments. They've seemingly done that and gotten pretty damn good at it. That's just on the outside looking in. Danny. Oh, what a can of worms. Here we go. D-back is right about thank yous. The only thing Hobbs should have got was a Greyhound ticket out of town or a jail cell for theft, Lieutenant Dan. Of course, Lieutenant Dan brings this up. I laughed at David's tweet. I saw lots of Packers fans take exception to it, which I completely understand. I just thought it was a funny tweet. And I do think, yeah, the thank you posts have gotten a little out of hand on social media, not just from the Packers, but from every NFL team. But, you know, who am I to throw a stone in a glass house when I call every single person who's ever worn the Packers uniform a Packers legend, right? I got no leg to stand on. So thank you, Nate Hobbs, for hitting guys in practice and injuring them. I don't know. I'm with David. For what? What are we thanking him for? I don't know. Andrew, what's up, man? I kid because I hurt. Sigh. Real. Haha. It's true. It's just, you know, reactions to being hurt. Harris, that's a good question. When do 20 visits start? I think you mean 30 visits. They get 30 of them pre-draft. Soon. Kind of on the heels of a lot of these pro days, because the Packers staff will be kind of going around the country to all these different pro days, and then they'll start bringing guys in. Thanks, Joe. Rashid lose millions with playoff performance? Funnily enough, I don't know that it's down to the playoff performance. Certainly, it didn't help him. But it is interesting to note that he has the same agent as Trent Williams, who is currently going through whatever he's going through with the 49ers. I would suspect that possibly teams are hoping that Trent Williams comes free so that maybe they're holding off on Rashid until they find out whatever the resolution is going to be there. That's just guesswork, but it's certainly a possibility, right? I still think, Was it Spoon? Somebody put out there that he might possibly sign a one-year deal, which I think, yeah, that's possible. But I do think there's still a chance that he gets a pretty significant deal at some point this offseason. When is Raji going to be available? Oh, we're back. All right, folks, got to get going. Cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor and hit like on the video. Subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family, Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.